Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Hebrews, beginning with chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then continuing with chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. And it reads, "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is a reflection of God's glory, an excellent imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he has made purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior as the angels. The name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." Continuing at verse 5 in chapter 2. "Now God did not subject the coming world about what we were speaking to the angels, but someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, of mortals that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside of their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It is fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, and bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, 'I will proclaim my name and my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I come to you this morning with a sermon that asks the question, Lord, am I also included? Pray with me. Lord, once again we ask that you bless and inspire this, your word, that it may take root, that it may bear fruit, that it will stand and give us guidance, direction, and food for thought. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our Old Testament reading, we see something wonderful taking place. Imagine being in the shoes of King David in that moment when something inspired him to write the psalm that we read just a few moments ago. Allow me, if you will, to paint a picture in your minds, and let's see if we can find ourselves in that same place that David was in. And so, clear your minds of all the stuff that you're going through right now or that you've experienced, and hear this. Imagine you've just started the day all over again. You're waking up, your eyes open for the first time, and what do you see? A tiny glimpse of sunlight peeking through the curtains. And as you look through, excuse me, miss, not during the sermon, please, thank you. And as you look through the curtain and you see that little peak of sunlight coming through, you roll out of the bed, you walk over to the curtains, and you throw them open. And at that moment, you are flooded with absolutely beautiful sunlight, just brightening up the entire room. And as you feel the warmth of the sun on your face, you open the windows and you feel a gentle breeze blowing through. And that breeze then exits the room, causing the trees and the flowers and the grass to shimmer in the sunlight. And as you're standing there, taking all of this in, you hear birds singing beautifully in the background as they drift and soar amongst the cloudless sky. And as this scene is unfolding right before your very eyes, hear once again David's words. O Lord, our sovereign God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Your name is above all names. You have set glory amongst all the heavens. As I look out, I see all of the wonderful things that your hands have created. Last night, we saw the moon and the stars, and we can only imagine how they got into place. And then we wake up to such a beautiful scene in the morning. Could you imagine being in David's place as he quoted this particular psalm? And then he goes on and he says, but what about human beings? What did you have on your mind when you created them? What is it that caused you to care for them so? And it is at that moment that our reality kicks in. It is at that moment when a special level of realization kicks in. Because what we come to discover is that God has also created one more absolutely magnificent thing. Something that no one can describe, something that no one can understand, something that is right here in our midst today. Beloved people of God, I want you to do something for me right now. Look at the person next to you. Look at the person next to you. Look them in the eyes. Look at their smile. Look at their eyes, their nose, their teeth. If you notice, no two of you are alike. Even if we had twins in here, there would still be just enough different. God created you special and made you who you were for His purpose alone. And as we enjoy all of the things that we hear, that we touch, that we smell, that we taste in this world, and as we enjoy all of the magnificent differences that God has created us to be, we celebrate those things because those little unique individual things make you who you are, not only in the eyes of God, but in your own life as well. Amen? And so it's with that that we have found reason to come and celebrate on this World Communion Sunday. For you see, beloved people of God, we as Christians have been invited to come to the Lord's table because we all have this in common, that Christ died for us because He felt that we were special enough for that. But here's where it gets a little bit complicated. Because as you spent the time looking at each other and looking at me, and when we had our little time with our children, the one thing that the world wants to do is to point out our differences. And yes, beloved people of God, we are all different. Some of us are older while others are younger. Many of us come from different races, creeds, and colors. Many of us are in very different financial places in our lives. Many of us have different educational accomplishments, and it goes on and on from there. And then, if we manage to even get past just that, it gets even more tricky, because there are those who will take it to an even higher level. Some will turn around and make the distinction, even though we're all people of God, even though we're all Christians, even though we're all celebrating God, there are some who will say, well, but you're Catholic, and I'm Reformed, but I'm Presbyterian, and you're Baptist or Pentecostal or Holiness or Lutheran. And they start picking out all those differences. And yet, when those types of conversations come about, when those conversations about what makes me different from you and you different from the next person starts to bubble up, we then have this other thing that subconsciously takes place that causes a problem in our lives. What ends up happening is then when we come to the Lord's table, we begin to question ourselves sometime. We sometimes find ourselves asking the question, Lord, am I included in this? Even though I'm different than the person next to me, even though I may not have been going to church as long as somebody else, even though I may not know the Bible as well as the person sitting next to me or the person who's preaching, though I may not sing as well as the people in the choir, do I belong? And yet, beloved people of God, I challenge you to do this. We have had this conversation about the differences, about the things that separate us for far too long. I will proclaim that we have come to a time when we need to embrace those differences as just simply being unique, and then simply enjoy and celebrate the thing that we have in common. And the thing that we have in common begins with one thing, and that is Christ loved us so much that he gave his life for each and every one of us. Amen. There is nowhere in the scriptures where you'll find that it says that God only died for this group of people or that group of people or this race or this color or this financially educated, whatever. It says that we are all the same in God's eyes. Our confirmation of that came not only in the Gospels, but in the book of Hebrews that we read a short while ago, when it concludes with the line, and I quote, he was crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, and so by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. And so, yes, beloved people of God, this passage stands as a reminder that Jesus died for everyone. There was no distinction made. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is equally loved by God. And so it's with that I challenge each and every one of us to live into that thing that we all have in common. Live into the fact that we are all loved by God, that we were all created by a God who loves each and every one of you, not because of who you are, but because of who he created you to be. And so it's with that I ask, how do we live into this challenge? How do we live into this? Where do we begin? With that, we simply go back to the Great Commission, the commandment, Great Commandment, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then embrace the second part of that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you can manage to do all these things, what you will discover is that you have begun to make this world a better place, not just for us, but for all the generations to come. Because what will happen is they'll be bathed with the image of love in their hearts and in their minds, and not looking for differences. And so, beloved people of God, are you up to the challenge? Are you willing to do that? Do I hear any yeses? Do I hear some maybes? Do I hear some noes? If we can do that, this world will truly be a glorious place. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, again, we ask that you bless this word, that it be inspired by you to take root and life in our hearts and minds. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.